Today we begin what we hope will become a regular Monday segment we'll call the Opinion Pages here on Talk of the Nation. Every Sunday, newspapers around the country run feature opinion pieces opposite the editorial page or in special sections of the newspaper. Each week we'll choose a piece that interests us and talk to the author. Today it's Jonathan Rauch, the senior writer for National Journal and guest scholar at the Brookings Institution. He wrote a piece for the Outlook section of the Washington Post in which he argues that public opinion and political reality will force President Bush to withdraw American troops from Iraq in months rather than years. Jonathan Rauch joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Neil.
If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And you say in your piece, your conclusion is not based on any inside information, but on an analysis of public opinion and on history.
Yeah, primarily the structure of public opinion, Neil. As a lot of people know, public support for the war in Iraq has been dropping steadily over time, and in fact much quicker than support for either Vietnam or Korea dropped. But what's particularly interesting is the apparent reasons for that. The public is increasingly saying that they just don't think it's a good strategy. It's not that they think America won't win in Iraq ultimately. It's that they think even winning isn't necessarily worth the trouble.
So it's gone from being a security issue, as you analyze these public opinion polls, to becoming an issue of social work for Iraqis.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, that people increasingly see this as something we're doing to stabilize someone else's country that won't necessarily make us any safer. The Pew researchers did a poll recently that asked a few really interesting questions that kind of outline this. People do not feel by a majority that the war in Iraq is reducing terrorism. They're split 50-50 on that, and they don't feel safer now than they did after September 11th. Only a third believes that democratizing Iraq will or should indeed democratize the whole region, which is President Bush's other goal. And overwhelmingly, they believe that the Iraq operation is carrying a large cost in diplomatic opinion of the United States. They think America's image is declining. Mm-hmm. When you put all that together, they're saying, look, this isn't making America safer. Why are we doing this?
Most ominous for the Bush administration were responses to a survey question regularly asked by Rasmussen Reports, a nonpartisan polling organization. Which is more important, getting American troops home as soon as possible or making sure that Iraq becomes a peaceful nation enjoying freedom and democracy? In October, the proportion who preferred coming home crossed the 50% barrier, reaching 53% versus 38% who preferred helping Iraq to become peaceful. You say there's two ways to really look at those numbers.
Yeah, one way is to look at that and say, as I think the administration does, you know, this is a problem with communication, with the public not understanding that we're winning over there. And in fact, there are good signs in Iraq as well as some not so good signs, or the public not understanding that we have a strategy for success. So they're saying we need to put the president out there with a clearer strategy, and that's what they're now starting to do.
The plan for victory we heard about last week.
Exactly. The plan for victory, the speech that went along with it, the subsequent speeches, which the president is about to make. The other way to read those numbers is to say, no, the public has pretty much already made its mind. The problem, Mr. President, is that it's not that we think you're not winning or that you don't have a plan. The problem is we don't think winning has enough stakes to make it worthwhile. We don't really think this is protecting America particularly. And if it's the latter kind of interpretation is correct, then the public no longer really supports the mission. And in that case, there's not a whole lot President Bush can say to the public to change that.
Mm-hmm. You say if that's the case, if that interpretation is correct, public opinion has reached the point of no return. There's nothing the president can say.
Well, there's not much he can say by way of we're going to win the war and so forth if the public really doesn't think the war is worth the trouble. Now, none of this is to say that this means there's a big tipping point and all the troops have to come home tomorrow. But it does mean that President Bush no longer has the luxury, if this reading is right, to have as many troops there as long as he thinks or his generals think it's necessary. It means instead that he will have to show the public some kind of plan for beginning to clearly reduce, not eliminate, but over time reduce troop presence. And indeed, the Pentagon is talking about being under 100,000 mm-hmm. by the end of next year. So there's signs that the White House is moving in that direction, too.
Robert Kagan, a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, had almost a mirror counter-argument in the same section of the newspaper as yours in the Sunday Washington Post. Yours was in the Outlook. His was actually on the op-ed page itself. He argues the president and the administration officials have been talking about reducing troops since Saddam Hussein's statue toppled, and that they have been unable to do it for military reasons, and that, in fact, they are not going to be able to do it for at least the next 2 years, and that we really ought to admit it.
Well, he has an interesting point strategically, and I'm not certainly competent to judge how many forces Americans, the Pentagon needs over there to do the job. But that's a strategic point of view. In order to run a war, on the other hand, you have to have a certain amount of political support. And I think if the president's advisors were to go to him and say, Mr. President, if we're not on our way out of Iraq, not totally out by any means, but on our way out of Iraq by summer, it'll be a bloodbath for Republicans in the elections, and we could lose the House or the Senate. President Bush is fundamentally a guy who cares about having a Congress he can work with and a public behind him, and he will have to accommodate that. So if that reading of the numbers is correct, then Mr. Kagan could be right or wrong about the strategy. But it ceased to matter as much because having that many troops in there is a luxury which the political process will no longer allow.
The president of the United States is also more than the leader of the Republican Party. He is, as you say, a person who owns this war. He started it. He's led the case for it. His legacy will be largely decided, not just the 2006 midterm elections, but his legacy is going to be decided on how things turn out in Iraq in the long term.
True. Absolutely right. And an interesting question is, it's not a given that either more troops or less troops means victory or defeat. I think there's still, from all indications I hear, pretty good prospects for some kind of reasonable long-term success in Iraq. And a lot of people say that some kind of restructuring of our force structure over there actually makes that more likely. I'm not competent to judge that. But remember, by pulling down troops, that doesn't necessarily mean losing the war. It means changing the way we wage the war.
Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We're talking with Jonathan Rauch about his piece in the Washington Post Outlook section. A version of that piece also appeared in the National Journal as well. If you'd like to join us again, give us a phone call, send us an email. We'll talk with Bernard. Bernard's calling us from Spring City, Pennsylvania.
Hi. History is not on the side of winning guerrilla wars. Guerrilla wars last decades and are usually not winnable. The French and Americans were in Vietnam for 20 years, 10 years apiece. Russia, Afghanistan, 10 years. England in America with our Revolutionary War, 8 years. Korea was different because it was a peninsula surrounded by sea and the terrain turned it into a conventional war. We won World War II in 3 years, 8 months. When are these politicians going to wake up? And then when we went out of Vietnam, the Vietnamese went to squabbling with their original allies, the Chinese. Pull out, they'll squabble amongst themselves, and they won't be killing us. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bernard cites several historical examples. Malaysia is one that has been cited as a success against an insurgency, but that also took 10 years. And really, Jonathan Rauch, what you're suggesting is that the American public is not going to give the president 10 years' time.
Well, I think that's right. At least they're not going to give the president 130,000 troops or anything like it for 10 years' time. The question is, will the United States be able to stand up an Iraqi force which can effectively wage a guerrilla war over the next 5 or 10 years? And that's the question, I think, that hangs fire today.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get somebody else on the line. Dennis. Dennis calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was over in Iraq last year. I was combat engineer. We went out and cleared roadside bombs and opened up avenues of approach.
That's a tough job.
Yeah, it was exciting to tell you. There have been incidents over there when chemical weapons have been used on our troops, and you can also verify this online through some of the these articles, but they just never did hit the mainstream.
As I understand it, these were old chemical warheads that were wired up and didn't necessarily even go off.
Some of them didn't, some of them did. Two of our guys went blind from the sarin gas that destroyed their optical nerve on May 17th last year. And the Polish infantry over there is pretty good at finding caches. And I just wondered if the media focused on something like this, would it change the support of the war?
broadening it even from chemical weapons to greater atrocities. Do you think that there, you said public opinion has reached the point of no return? Obviously, we can't calculate everything. If some outstanding atrocity, use of chemical weapons, could that change public opinion?
If the public perceives the war in Iraq as a war that's being waged in order to stabilize Iraqi society for the good of Iraqis, rather than a war that's aimed at improving the security of Americans, I don't think that forces, changes, events on the grounds in Iraq will lead the public to support that kind of war. The public, I think, in order to support a long-term war effort that involves a major commitment of U.S. forces, needs to believe that the stakes are high for American security. And I think without that element, it's just a question of whether, not when, in terms of pulling back.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, I do have to, since you were there,
yes, sir.
Do the people in your unit, do the people that you talk to, do they feel that American security is at risk?
Well, we was at risk. We felt like it.
While you were there, I have no question about that. Yeah.
Correct. Jonathan said a while ago that these were old weapons. To us over there, we didn't really care whether they're new, freshly made, or old. And my understanding that the main concern was whether they had them or not, whether they're still producing them. We was on the ground. We was afraid of where they was coming from. They may have been there. They may have come in from other countries. If that was the case, then they could take them other places too besides Iraq. We was kind of concerned about that.
All right, Dennis. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it.
Thanks for the work you're doing over there, or the work
you
did.
Mm-hmm. And we would like to thank you, Jonathan Rauch, for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Jonathan Rauch, our first guest on our new series of The Opinion Pages, which we hope will be a regular feature here on Talk of the Nation on Mondays. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.